First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning. I got confirmed.
Hello and welcome to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're recording this on Sunday morning, September 18th, 2022. I'm Larry Rhodes, or Doubter 5, and as usual, we have our co-host, Wombat, on the line with us. Hello, Wombat.
All I wanted to do was put a filter on where my beard went away, and I lost all my video feed. Anyway, hey, what's up, everybody? I'm the Wombat. It's nice to meet you guys.
Hello. And from Western Canada, Dread Pirate Higgs, welcome. And from over British way, England, there's John Richard. Welcome.
Thank you.
And Boudreaux and Buffalo from
Kentucky.
Kentucky, right, I forget. Welcome. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faith, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling you're the only non-believer in your town, well, I'll take money on it. I bet you're not. In right. Knoxville, in the middle of the Bible Belt, we have a group of over 1,000 of us. The Atheist Society of Knoxville, ASK. We'll tell you more about them after the mid-show break. Wombat, what's our topic today?
We're going over a bunch of listener comments. I keep saying we're going to go over them. I intend to, and I want more of them. So we got our chat open. We're ready to talk. We got comments from last week. We're ready to go. Let's do a whole mailbag session today. But before we get into those that stake and the on-courses, let's open up with a nice appetizer of noodles, and we'll throw it up to our own Dread Pirate Higgs for our weekly invocation.
Arr! Grub be me, Captain, I shall not want. He maketh me to float in salt waters. He steereth me through glassy seas. He filleth me bowl. He steereth me through the straits of noodliness, for goodness sake. Aye, though I sail through the heaving of tempestuous waters, I will fear not sinking, for thou art with me. Thy mast and thy rudder, they comfort me. Thou preparest a feast before me, in the presence of me meats. Thou quenchest my thirst with grog, my goblet runneth over. Truly, pasta and grog shall abide with me all the days of me life, and I shall dwell in the galley of the Quab forever.
Guys, I do want to catch up with everyone before we go into some listener comments today. Boudreaux, Buffalo, it's also good to see you guys. We'll start with you. Buffalo, how you been? What's going on with you?
I've been fine. Not too much. Not too much at all, actually. Getting ready to teach again this spring. Science of climate change course. So that's good.
That's fantastic. Also, do you find any, so I'm hoping you're not getting any sort of backlash or friction when it comes to teaching about climate change in an open and scientific way in the grand old state of Kentucky. Could you mind talking about that a bit?
Not anymore.
Ooh.
When I started the course 12 years ago, about 60% of the students didn't know whether or not it was real.
Wow.
That doesn't exist anymore.
Good.
I'm happy to say.
Yeah. Neither does a healthy climate. So,
unfortunately. Yeah, right. That's about right.
Boudreaux, good to see you too. What's up with you, my friend?
Well, one of us, I won't tell you who, one of us recently turned 79. So,
yeah. And still getting
happy
the paycheck.
Birthday.
Look at this.
Hang
guys. In there.
Okay. Yeah.
But I'm most excited to see Wombat here in Kentucky next week. We're going to have a blast.
Yeah, I was looking forward to the long drive too. I needed to like wear out my catalytic converter a bit. I put so many additives in it. I just need to burn them out. I'm like, I need a long drive. Where can I go?
Boudreaux's that's like, a real hey, thing. Yeah.
I'm like, all right, fine. Let's do it. Put some long miles in your car. It's good for it. Yeah. Looking forward to spending a day in the life of Eric or a weekend in the life of Eric. Also, got to get you on a disc golf course. That's what I'm excited about. I really want to show you what that's all about.
Yeah, Eric, congratulations to you on that score.
Yeah. Also, congrats on happy birthday. We'll throw it up to Dread Pirate Higgs and his weekly check-in on the quest for chaos.
Yes, yes, yes. Well,
what's going on now that you're now national news?
Yeah. Well, we've certainly had a lot more people join up the Facebook group. So we're hoping to get more Canadians. So I put it out there to some of the main Pastafarian groups that are international.
Cool.
And see if we can conscript some for manning the local cannons. So
nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tomorrow, as you know, or may not know, a reminder that it is Talk Like a Pirate Day tomorrow, international. Okay. I know in Canada, our Prime Minister declared it ad hoc as the Memorial Day for the mourning of the Queen. Of course, that's just another attempt of government to take over our religious holiday. So I'm a little pissed off, but...
No, you can say that. That's fine. That's fine. That's fine. That counts.
Tomorrow's the wedding. We're having our first Pastafarian wedding in Canada.
Oh, good.
I am the officiant because I am a marriage commissioner. But we're going to have it scripted, of course, to conform with Pastafarian beliefs. So that should be a good time. And I'm going to live stream that on my YouTube channel, Mind Pirate.
Nice.
At 3 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. So come check out that channel if you want to see a cool wedding.
Nice. You know what? I also say there is a Pastafarian holiday that is often overlooked by government, which is called Friday. And I find that to be one of the most important holidays of all day. Like everyone's so happy that it's Friday. Got to thank a local Pastafarian. That's how you really, you know, enjoy your Fridays. Just find one with a calendar on your head and be like, thank you for this day. It's a really great day. They'll be like, I didn't do it, but I appreciate the thanks.
And you don't have to go to a church. All you have to do is eat pasta and regard it as, you know, a symbolic of the creation of the universe by the great monster. That's all.
It's got to be the right pasta too. Like we don't take false believers in this room. All right. Anyway, guys, Joel, we got more people to go over. Larry Rhodes, I'm going to throw you under the bus. How you been? Hopefully not under the bus. You do like your motorcycle riding. So I'm going to put the spotlight on you.
I rode for about 2-3 hours yesterday. Had a good long trip up toward Brushy Mountain and beautiful day. It was like 80. I did notice that going through the shaded regions with the trees overhanging was cold.
Yeah.
So it's getting there. Can't ride in the t-shirt anymore. I'll have to wear a jacket.
You got 2 weeks of good weather before it starts getting impossibly cold to do anything outside. Yeah. That is life in Kentucky and Tennessee. It is what it is.
Yep.
So enjoy it. It sounds like you got it.
Yeah.
John Richards, throwing up to you. One last. I'm trying to find a nice, what's top hat, top drawer comments from you. Is that the proper phrase for it? Top quality. That's all I'm saying. It's like a quality check-in from John Richards.
I'll take any of that.
give me like all the dressings that are going on, because I know you got a lot of stuff going on.
I'm getting more and more into YouTubing. So, for example, this morning I did a podcast. It's not uploaded yet, but it was with some colleagues on the AUK, Atheism UK Council, on the subject of the transfer of the leadership of our established church from one sadly dead monarch to the next monarch.
Right.
So she not only reigned over the state, but she reigned over the Church of England too. And all of that passes to Charles III. And the question is how he will handle it and what changes might occur and how the Archbishop of Canterbury will react to this and all sorts of things. And furthermore, now that the country polled as 51% faithless, should his title not be Defender of the Faith, but Defender of the Faithless?
Nice. Yeah. So my only comment, and I think, Dredd, you're really going to love this too. We often talk about quantum entanglement on this show. We noted that when the Queen dies, the next regency in line, or become the next person in line, immediately that instant becomes the regent, right? They could be on Mars and Jupiter, but it's still instantaneous. Yep. It's like they're quantum entangled people. Yes. What do you think about that, Dredd? Faster than the speed of light.
I don't think it works on the macro level. It works on the micro level.
I think it works on the macro level. I think we see an instantaneous change of power right there. And it's just like, you can't track it. It's faster than the speed of light. And we know that is a thing. It's like,
yes, but you're talking about a cultural thing, not a physical thing.
It's still information. Okay, we can go. Guys, I know the mailbag is bursting at the seams. We're going to go through some comments. First one is from our last episode, from our favorite commenter, Data's Trading Room. He does say that he had a story. I'm going to feed into the story just a little bit. But he said, you know, based on the Darwin Awards, which we were talking about how people tend to die in very ignorant fashions based on their religious beliefs, he brought up the story of a devout believer who was sailing on a boat. The boat started sinking and the guy was about to drown. He was swimming in the ocean and he was looking for someone to rescue him. But he had a boat that came along and he was like, no, God's going to save me. And then a bigger boat came along and he's like, no, thank you. You don't need to save me. God's going to get me. And then a helicopter came along and was like, hey, do you need any help? And the guy's like, nope, nope. I still have the power of God. God's going to save me from this water. And so he finally did drown. And in heaven, the guy met God and asked him, why didn't you save me? And God answered, I like drowning people. Have you read my book? I'm all about drowning people. That's me.
That joke has a different punchline, doesn't it?
Yes, of course.
That's mine. That's a Tyrone original. Just remember, that's more accurate. Just remember, that's more accurate.
Yes, yes. It is more accurate.
All right.
The tie twist.
There's another comment from Data's Trading Room said regarding our use of Latin phrases, saying, I do not agree with cognito ergo sum. It is sum ergo cognito. I am not because I think because I am. When I am not, I also think not. Any comments?
Yeah, but Latin always ends with
that makes sense.
Verb final language, right?
Yeah.
Verb final language, right? All right. We're going to get to some really nice comments today. And thank you so much, Data's Trading Room, for the also really nice comments. This one's related to harmful beliefs deserve no respect, even when justified by religion. And that is
usually aren't justified.
Yeah, in the secular sense, absolutely not. But by the religious person, absolutely. Right. In their own eyes. Right. And right. So harmful beliefs deserve no respect, even when they're used as an excuse by religion, or even when religion is used as an excuse. Case in point, we had a commenter who Seamus the Seagull. I'm Jewish, so naturally, I presume you already know what happened to my body on the eighth day of my life. What in the world went through my parents' head as the Mohel pulled out his sharp tools? What possible thought could justify skinning a non-consenting human being alive? And you think about that. I'm also circumcised, too. I never really thought a lot of thought into it, but I do recognize that, like, that's a thing that if I wasn't religious or if we didn't have a religious culture, wouldn't happen. And it causes a lot of, in my opinion, unnecessary surgery or harm. There's some people who mess it up. There's some people who are like, what do you call it? They mess up the circumcision and that person's just walking around with a ineffective,
a mutilated, mutilated penis.
Moil. Thank you.
Moil. Pronounce moil.
Moil. Thank you. I'm doing my best. You guys are keeping me honest. John Richards, what do you think?
Well, some of the ways that's done, the operation is done, are revolting. I mean, the moil, having cut the top of the penis, the skin around the top of the penis, he is then supposed to put it in his mouth and suck the blood.
Oh, that's not real. Is that real?
Yeah, that's real.
That's not real.
It is real.
No.
And one or two people have been infected by germs.
The mouth more is than, the most dirtiest part of your body, honestly.
And about six boys every year in the U.S. die as a result of this operation, the needless operation.
Mm.
This is beyond what I was expecting to hear today. Yeah, please stop that. And there's no push or pressure to outlaw it because people are using religion to support the belief of like, well, it's tradition, it's our belief, we're going to do this anyway. And yet abortion's illegal.
Right. Like, right.
The odd thing is that female genital mutilation, everybody throws up their arms in horror about, but male
genital, not everyone.
Well, a lot of people, yeah. But male genital mutilation, you can get away with it. It's not a big issue.
Boudreau, I'd love to hear your point of view. Is there you know, veracity of this with the Catholic upbringing?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't remember a whole lot of it you know, from growing up. I mean, it's not like something we talked about in the locker room or anything back then, but I did, we as a family, we really struggled with this one. When Vincent was born, he my son's 11, and I wasn't as activist-y as I am now in these kind of groups. Certainly still atheist, but I think the way Kristen and I resolved it, well, whether or not to have him have a circumcision, we talked to our pediatrician and we said, is it something we should do? And he said, you know, honestly, if you're circumcised, getting him circumcised, you know, maybe there'd be fewer questions. Not like we're walking around naked or anything, but it stuck. We that's what we went with. I've really regretted it since.
Yeah. And I wonder why a doctor would say that it saves questions. Questions are good things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Let them keep asking. Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
It's more likely that he would pass it on without questioning to his next generation.
Exactly.
Pass on questions. Questions are
good. Questions are good to have.
Buffalo. Oh, go ahead, Pujo. You had more.
No, I was just gonna say, if I ever make that time machine, I mean,
sure. Yeah, I'll go along with you.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Like I can definitely think of times when it was inconvenient. Like when I was just based on new jeans that you wear and you're like, dang it, wouldn't it be great if there was like a sheet of skin? I'm like, there was? What? Get out of town. Well, what in the world? All right. John Richards, what do you got? Well,
the thing is, what's the motivation behind it? Because it's almost never medically necessary. There's about 2% of males who need this operation and don't discover it until they're in their teenage, you know, going through puberty. And so the only reason for it is cosmetic. It's branding. It's saying you're one of us.
Right. Yeah. In the most committal way possible. It's like, give me your actual junk and scar it.
Yes.
This is back in, you know, Mesopotamian times. It's like, did you sanitize that? You know, there's no such thing as germs. It's going to work out. It's like, then you are very committed when you do this.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like the shibboleth thing.
Yeah.
You know, the pronunciation of shibboleth. The Hebrews, that's how they knew the enemies from themselves is the pronunciation.
Wow.
And so circumcision is a way of identifying, truly identifying a Hebrew from all the rest of the heathens, right?
Not only that, but like if you get a tattoo of a cross on your face or your chest, it's very hard to get out of Christianity after that point, right?
Yeah.
So like getting circumcised is that branding where it's like, hey, I'm an atheist, but you still look like a Christian. It's easier for you to be pulled back into the fold. It's like you've already been scarred. You might as well commit to it after that point. It's a really unfortunate system. And I think if moving forward, if I do ever have like a son, I would be very, very adamant against that, even to the point where it'd be like, okay. I mean, there's a lot of weird things that I probably let my son do or not do, but I'd be like, okay, if he wants to go to Vanderbilt, I'll let him go to Vanderbilt, but he's not going to get circumcised. Something like that. He's not going to be a Georgia fan. All right, Larry Rhodes, any more thoughts on this? On the idea?
No, that's about it.
Okay, cool. Harmful beliefs don't deserve respect even when justified by religion. Really do appreciate that point. Next comment is, the world is much more impressive when you realize a God didn't create it. And this one's brought to our commenter, Victor. When you are taught about God, you're taught that he's all powerful. He can wish anything to happen and it will. I constantly am told to marvel at how beautiful and incredible his creations are, but I never did. I never really understood why I was meant to be impressed by something an all powerful being made. He's all powerful after all. It shouldn't be so impressive that he made a plant grow or whatever. But after becoming an atheist, I started thinking more about the world and how it came to be, how living things started living, how animals and plants started evolving, how some species of ape evolved into Homo sapiens and practically took over the world. It's incredible. No God was involved in this. It was purely the beings themselves, which I find much more impressive. The world is much more impressive when you realize that God didn't create it. And I hold true to that. I'd love to hear what your guys' thoughts are. Dread Pirate, what do you think about that?
Well, of course, we hold that the flying spaghetti monster was the creator of the universe and the world, and especially the idea that gravity is not a pull; it's a push by the noodly lord pressing his appendages down on people to keep them on the earth. That's why midgets are the first people, because They were smaller and easier to keep to the earth.
Okay. So many undercomments on that. John Richards, what do you think about the idea of the world being more impressive when you don't have a religious belief?
Well, absolutely. It's incredibly wonderful, especially when you realize that we're like ants looking at this amazing, I'm lost for words, amazing size, distance, variation, diversity. And I don't like the way the Christians have stolen that idea and called it all awesome and claim to own it. It's theft.
Yes, I agree. Yes. Theft. Dread. Oh, I'm sorry. Boudreaux, what do you think?
There's a really neat meme I see floating around occasionally where it's, you know, if there is no God, then how do you explain this? And it's a picture of a beautiful sunset. And the very next frame is, you know, the ionosphere and the bending of the light and the, you know, the science behind it. Like, this is why, you know, this is why we see the colors we see, and it's beautiful. And it's beautiful because of, you know, just the physics of it. And I know Dawkins has a really neat quote about that. I can't pull up in my mind right now, that about how really it is just like your, as you said, Victor made the post.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it's our Victor, but it is a Victor.
Okay. I mean, able to help you on that, Boudreaux.
Oh, good. Oh, I was actually going to point to you and hope you had the quote. But so,
well, he wrote a book called The Blind Watchmaker. And so, of course, you know, the argument against this idea is, you know, look at the trees. It must be so that God created it. But it'd be like finding a watch on a beach. And saying, well, this watch is so intricate and complicated, there's no other way it could be created without there being an intelligence behind it. But if that's the case for all creation, you're walking on a beach made of watches, where watches grow out of the ground and washes compose the water of the ocean, and the sky is made of watches. Like, everything is watches. It's watches all the way down, as it might say. And so that's the argument against this idea that you look at something and you can't, incredible or irreducible complexity. It's a failed argument on the basis of that blind watchmaker thing.
Yes, I'm not a fan of the argument of complexity as far as like an argumentation for design. When we know that simplicity is the hallmark of design, if you ever spent any time in an actual engineering place or get paid for it, you will understand very quickly that the less complex something is, the more people will be willing to pay for it. And that's the hallmark and beauty of design, not simplicity, not complexity. Oh, man, we just got a bunch of comments on this one. Buffalo, do you have any comments on the idea of the world being more beautiful, more awe-inspiring when you take God out of the picture?
Well, as a biologist, of course. Again, the complexity of that and proliferation of life is awesome, and it's just inconceivable that it could have come from one source.
Okay.
Evolution itself, I think, speaks against it.
Yeah, evolution itself is a very, very gnarly way of trying to improve things with living bodies. But it's a very interesting path of how we got here. Far better than any fiction. In my opinion, fact always beats out fiction. I want to get Larry a chance to get in, and then Dred. Larry, do you have any idea or opinions on the idea that fact is more impressive without fiction? Or
Well, without an explanation, a fairy tale explanation.
There you
because,
go.
Because, of course, if he's all powerful, like the commenter was saying, there's no reason why he couldn't create every kind of complexity that we see in nature. But the thing about it is, the hallmark of good intelligent design is simplicity, not complexity.
Absolutely.
And if God had really wanted to make us so that we could live in the universe anywhere we wanted to, he'd make us out of titanium, be one piece that would bend in any direction we want to, and have a computer for a mind. He didn't have to follow all this evolutionary zigzags going up through the biological ladder.
Yeah, he'd ideally make us out of Teflon, you know? Yep. That way, at least we wouldn't need umbrellas. Even titanium can be exposed to oxygen. What's up, Dredd? What's up?
Well, I was actually listening to a podcast around the topic of Darwin's study of evolution. And it occurs to me as a result of that he started out as a believer. And he really struggled with his mm-hmm. belief in the light of evolution. So having come up with this the theory of natural selection and evolution by a natural selection, he wrestled with that for a long time, and at the same time did not have a mechanism for it. So he had a theory for which he did not have a good understanding of how it could work. It wasn't until Francis and Crick came up with the discovered the DNA, like almost a century later or more, that it finally had a mechanism. But again, he had a theory without a mechanism, and that helped him struggle with his beliefs.
Nice.
Yeah, so, he was born to that theory, and he was probably circumcised.
Yeah.
Well, a little known fact is Abraham Lincoln and Darwin were born on the exact same day. They have the same birthday.
Nice.
Yeah.
Regarding the idea of why would a pediatrician want a kid to stop asking questions? Questions are a good thing. Photoflogger says, stealing a version of this for my best man's speech I'm giving in a few weeks. Well said, mate. You know, I like the quote, but I wonder how he's going to fit that into a best man. Yeah, I really wanted to see how that's going to add up.
What's his new wife going to think?
Yeah. Upstanding Sid Standison says, I've always felt that complexity of the universe is an argument against God. If he's all powerful, he could have created things that didn't need food or water and thereby avoided starvation and dehydration. He could have made beings that don't need oxygen and avoided drownings and suffocations. He could have created a world in where light was simply an inherent trait rather than needing it for it to come from solar fusion. Instead, the complexity of the universe and life's nearly perfect fit into a hospitable environment speak to chance, adaptation, evolution, and evolution, not omniscience and omnipotence. Larry, what do you think?
And he wouldn't have had to create a universe or a world where people and other animals had to kill each other to survive.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Like, look at that beautiful bird. It's now food for something else. You know, yeah. John Richards, what do you think?
Well, the whole thing is just a claim, isn't it? Mm. There's no connection between this God and the diversity and amazing variation of the cosmos.
Very true.
Unlike Paley's watch, you know, that story that Dredd told us. We know how watches are made.
Right.
We can even show you watchmakers.
Yes.
They
have no link between their claim and the observations that we can all make about the universe.
Even more problematic, there's no frame of reference for what something that isn't a creation is or what something isn't a creator is. If everything in the world's a creator and you're surrounded by everything, that's creation. If you don't have a frame of reference, you have no basis to claim that something is a creation when you can't recognize when it's not. Right. You know, it's the most simplest thing in the world. Lack of frame of reference. Well, you says, I'll say it again. Wait. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Larry.
We need to take a break. We're at the bottom.
We got five more minutes before the end. We got five more minutes. I think we can fit them in. We can fit these in. All right. So, well, you says, I'll say it again and again. Once you realize that nothing supernatural exists, the world is a much nicer place. I agree. And UURWUU says, similarly, my wife, a Christian, asked if I thought we were destined to be together when we were dating. She knew I'm an atheist and was then struggling to come to grips with it. And I said no, and my no upset her pretty hard until I can explain that I found it far more precious that, according to my beliefs, our meeting was a culmination of a lifetime of decisions that, if any single one was made differently, could have meant that we'd never meet. And that improbability is far more beautiful than some sky guy determining that we would end up together no matter what. I imagine that there was some additional comments on the phrase sky guy.
Spoken by a male, right?
Well, don't mansplain me my improbability. You know, I do find the improbability of us being here, even just talking this conversation, far more beautiful than it being preordained. Yeah. And it's the difference between... Oh, go ahead, John Richards.
I would have thought that how they came together was pretty immaterial. What matters is how they're going to go on in future.
Mm. Very nice. I like that. That's the motto for a movie that's about to happen pretty soon. Guys, I think we're now at the bottom of the break. We're going to go into, after we come back, a tell-all from a man whose pastor outed him as an atheist to his community group. And then any additional comments that you guys are free to put in, we'll see you back after the break. Larry, why don't you take us out?
Sure. Stay tuned for the second half of the Digital Freethought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We'll be right back after this short break.
Let's take a trip to examine this common basis of life, a voyage to investigate the molecular machinery at the heart of life on Earth.
All life is related, and it enables us to construct with confidence the complex tree that represents the history of life. Our planet, the Earth, is, as far as we know, unique in the universe. It contains life. Here, plants and animals proliferate in such numbers that we still have not even named all the different species. Darwin's great insight revolutionized the way in which we see the world. We now understand why there are so many different species.
Every cell is a triumph of natural selection, and we're made of trillions of cells. In us is a little universe. Those are some of the things that molecules do. Given 4 billion years of evolution, we are, each of us, a multitude.
Now, how did the molecules of life arise?
It began in the sea. Some 3,000 million years ago, complex chemical molecules began to clump together. These were the seeds from which the tree of life developed. They were able to split, replicating themselves as bacteria.
The secrets of evolution are time and death. There's an unbroken thread that stretches from those first cells to us. The secrets of evolution are time and death. There's an unbroken thread that stretches from those first cells to us. Every cell is a triumph of natural selection, and we're made of trillions of cells. In us is a little universe. Those are some of the things that molecules do. Given 4 billion years of evolution, we are, each of us, a multitude.
There isn't a sharp line dividing humans from the rest of the animal kingdom. It's a very wuzzy line. It's a very wuzzy line. It's getting wuzzier all the time. We find animals doing things that we, in our arrogance, used to think was just human. It's a very wuzzy line, and it's getting wuzzier all the time.
Every cell is a triumph of natural selection, and we're made of trillions of cells. In us is a little universe. Those are some of the things that molecules do. Given 4 billion years of evolution, we are, each of us, a multitude. Every cell is a triumph of natural selection, and we're made of trillions of cells. In us is a little universe.
Our planet, the Earth, is, as far as we know, unique in the universe. It contains life. Its continued survival now rests in our hands.
Welcome back to the second half of the Digital Freethought Radio Hour. I'm Larry Rhodes, or Doubter 5, and we're on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Let's talk just for a moment about the Atheist Society of Knoxville. ASK is founded in 2002. We're in our 20th year, and we have over 1,000 members, and we have weekly in-person meetings every Tuesday evening at the Knoxville's Old City at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria. Look for us inside at the high top tables or if it's pretty weather outside on the deck. If you can't make the meeting in person, we also have a Tuesday evening Zoom meetup. If you'd like to join us, email us for the link at askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org or letschatse@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook, meetup.com, or go to the website at knoxvilleatheist.org or just Google Knoxville Atheist. Just that simple. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, you should still go to meetup and look for an atheist group in your town. Don't find one. Start one. Wombat, where do we want to pick up?
Some quick comments from the first half. One True Glob says, so glad that my mom had the heart and avoided the brutal removal of my penis tip skin. Like, seriously, what's going on with that? Jacqueline Marie 11 says, it's genital mutilation to do circumcision or obviously female genital mutilation. We attempt to protect women from genital mutilation, but this happens in other culture. I'm sorry. We protect women from genital mutilation that happens in other cultures and conveniently ignore all the mutilation happening to male infants in this country. Also, I'm going to add in that this happens to intersex infants as well after birth. A lot of doctors let the parents choose the sex they want their genitals made to look like if they're ambiguous, and parents have zero rights to make these decisions for their kids. I agree on both of those points.
Yeah, for sure.
On top of that, we got another comment. Oh my gosh, you guys, I can't keep up. sorry. So I had a different comment that I'm going to try to scroll up to. If you guys, okay, hold on. I'm going to go into Messenger so I can pull this up. All right. So we got a comment from a person who'd like to remain anonymous. Hello, Ty. I'm writing this out of annoyance, then distress, and not directed at you or anyone on the show, just venting. Long story short, I came from a Seventh-day Adventist family, fourth generation. And in SDA churches, if you want to get baptized, you need to complete a guide with your pastor or presbytery. It usually lasts 6 months. I expressed my wish to be baptized a year ago. However, during that time, I started doubting my faith. And after 8 months of studying and praying with no responses whatsoever, I stopped believing in God. Everyone expected me to get baptized as I completed my preparation. And when I told my family that I don't want to join the church, they called the pastor over for a private meeting. He always seemed like a nice guy, so I was honest with him. I told him everything about my lack of belief and my experience with religion. We ended up praying together. No response, of course. Fast forward 4 months, I stopped going to the church because everything seemed so cultish. And because I was tired of their ignorance and cognitive dissonance in general, just to find out that this evening, my pastor outed me to the entire church and to my parents because they didn't even know I was an atheist. I'm disappointed, but I'm not surprised. My first mistake was to trust someone from a church / cult.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Well, on that subject, last week, some of you were in the show that I do later on today, the Global Atheist News Review, where we express our views on the news. And our New York panelist, who is of Jewish extraction, he said that debaptism is relatively easy. What he finds difficult is de-circumcision.
I don't know about that.
So anyone have any additional comments on that story from our own anonymous writer? Dredd,
There may be in biology, there may be the opportunity to, once they discover how, you know, salamanders regrow their tails and whatnot, that, you know, foreskins may be able to grow back somehow.
Yeah.
Put some stem cells around there or something.
Yeah. And then we'll all be able to regrow. And that means that when we take up drumming, we'll all be able to say how much we love beating the foreskins.
Well, no.
There is a salient point I'd like to... Oh, go on, Bredro.
If you're on a point, I was just going to comment on the person that made the comment, but you can go ahead first.
I was just saying, like, the reason why do we have a system where someone tells their secrets to a person who's the authoritarian head of an organization? Like, the rule of the position of power should be to serve the people that you're working with, right? Not to be the secret keeper, the gatekeeper, master of whispers of your congregation, because it only makes them harder to leave if they want to go somewhere else, because now you have all this blackmail ammunition, right? And we have an agreement So that's the general theme of the comments that we're getting, is that it's basically a win-win for your pastor. Derma 5 says this: either you're an example of what not to be like, or you become a notch in the belt of Christianity as an atheist who found God again. In either case, it has to be made public. And in the end, he only cares about himself and his soul, not yours. Bujo, what do you think?
Yeah, so along that point, it seems to me like there's got to be a little bit of a benefit cost analysis going on with the church, where it's like, it's probably not worth their time to try to convince this person. Let's spend our efforts on convincing these others that'll turn quicker or at least keep them in line. Well, so, yeah,
there's also the thing about shunning. If he's not going to be in the church, you don't want your church members to have contact with him. And so what better way to do that than doubt him?
Right. Buffalo, I'd love to hear what you think about this.
Again, got to keep the pews full, right?
So right.
You got to play to the crowd.
Yeah. Right. It's such a sad thing when a person actually genuinely needs help in connecting with a God, and you're talking to a whole group of people, the leader of people who have this instantaneous access. Instead of just being like, oh, I'll Google that for you. Like, if I forget my phone and I need to find out how tall ostriches are on average, I can just talk to another guy who's like, hey, do you have connection to the internet? Yeah, of course. Let me figure that out for you. I can't talk to God. Can you help me out? Guy whose job is I talk to God for a living? Well, I'll pray for it for you. And maybe I'll come back in 4 months. This is like, dude, do you have this connection or not? And you're not giving him any more meaningful ideas about why he should stay in. Not only when you out him, but when you can't help him when he's in his time of need.
And why do you talk to somebody who's not merciful, or who has created a non-merciful world?
Yeah.
Right. Hot Mess Express. One, I love the name, says he only did that for you to have your family, friends, and other church members manipulate and pressure you until you crack under the pressure and return to the church.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. Seamus says, rule number one for dealing with cultists: nice is different than good. And I found that to be absolutely true. And there's a big difference with that when you see like a very smiling Mormon or a happy Jehovah Witness. It's like, they're nice, but is that good? And there's a difference between the two. Like, you can be pleasant with someone, but recognize whether someone actually has the faculties to be able to make morally justified, bold decisions or not. And nice is not always the best. Good is. All right. How do you guys feel? Everyone good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. I'm going to open up the comment well again. So Hot Mess Express also follows up with, I had this pastor obsessively try to convert me to Christianity for months and would go on these insane rants in the pulpit indirectly talking about me every Sunday. Long story short, I ended up ghosting him, and I'm sure that sent him into some kind of narcissistic rage, knowing I wasn't going to be the center of his attention anymore, or he wasn't going to be the center of my attention anymore. I'm getting tired of Christians, and I'm starting to think all of them are bad.
Well, Christianity
difference
is
between bad ideas and bad people.
But you know, there's limits. I would say.
Well, I like to say, Christianity is as Christianity does.
Right.
Not what they say.
Right. I can also say, like, Christianity puts out so much bad stuff under the gift wrappings of good things even just quietly pushing it along as a good person, just, you know, either being completely ignorant to that and just allowing that river to continue to flow, or causing no inhibition or critical thought and just being another one of the faces that are purported that Christianity is a good thing, can be in its own right a bad thing. And like, if you're an adult, you have to know that or not, and you either support it or you don't. And I feel like that's culpability, even in the lack of inaction. Silence is a really, really bad thing in the vase of what we're dealing with right now. That's my thought. What do you think, Dredd? You think that's fair?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't say it makes you automatically a bad person, but I'd say like it makes you deeply irresponsible if you decide to continue to push Christian agendas by inaction and not exercise your thought.
If you're a thinking person.
If you got a thing, don't. Yeah. What do you think, Dredd?
Well, I was just going to add that it's important for atheists and pastafarians also to be aware that we're not attacking the people who hold these beliefs, but the beliefs themselves. No. And it's often difficult for people who hold these beliefs to recognize the difference.
Right.
Because we're all so very invested in our beliefs. Mm. We conflate our sense of worth with our beliefs. And so when you attack a person's belief, they sometimes take it as an attack on them, a personal attack. Mm. And it's always important to make sure that we're trying to maintain an atmosphere of respect and willingness to even change our minds in accordance to the to the evidence. So we should portray what we want to you know, what we're trying to encourage. We should act in accordance to that.
John Richards, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this follow-up from Hot Mess Express. The liberal ones allow, the liberal Christians allow this kind of behavior to continue by downplaying it, saying that not all Christians are aggressive and egotistical. Yeah, all of them might not be like that, but most Christians enable the Christian zealots by not calling them out.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, same with Muslims, right? You know, it doesn't matter which religion you're talking about. It's the ones that hold it, you know, not as extremely, but their silence, of course, essentially allows the extremists to get away with it.
Mm. Yeah, it's sort of a reversal of what Groucho Marx said. You know, he said, "I wouldn't join a club that would have me as a member." Well, you don't join a club that's got these other fundamentalist members.
Right.
Or supporting them, even tacitly.
Boudreaux, we have a question about SDA. And since you expressed some interest in that, I wanted to throw this one out to you. Is SDA... by question by Fuzzy Buzzy. Is SDA one of the extremist cults? What is SDA? Do they hold a funeral? Are they one of the cults that hold a funeral for you and have your family treat you like you're deceased when you leave the religion? Mm. Or is that one of the other cults?
Yeah, my interest in this was not because of my knowledge of SDA. It's just I was interested in that, the topic of someone getting outed like that. That was interesting. I don't know a whole lot about SDA, honestly. Mm. It would not surprise me to find out that, you know, they would throw a funeral for someone who leaves. But I don't know actually.
Yeah.
What is an SDA?
Seventh-day Adventist.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. I work with some of them at our job. They're, like I said, nice. They're nice people. But I've had in-depth, you know, Socratic examinations with them, and they're like, "Yeah, I believe in the Bible." And I'm like, "You believe everything in the Bible?" "Yes, absolutely. There's no question about it." And even the thing on slavery. "Well, let me tell you about slavery." It's like, it's never just like a no. It's just like, "Well, it was okay back then because they were okay with it. Were the slaves okay with it? Probably not." I'm like, okay, this guy, you know, you're an adult and you still haven't,
it's an
equivocation,
right?
Thought. Yeah, like the slaves had a point of view too. And it's very easy to overwrite that. But So Hot Mess Express, I'm going to let this one, last one. Honestly, thinking about it, dealing with my own religious trauma and reading other atheist stories about Christians trying to force them to convert, this is really dumb and childish, this whole thing, when I think about it. We have fully grown adults throwing temper tantrums and threatening people in order for them to believe that some ancient book is true. And in my head, it's not just about the book, it's about the power system that they developed or inherited as a result. And this is entirely a power play. And so when, you know, your pastor wants you to confide in them, him or her, or most of the time him, because like I said, it's a power play. When they hold those secrets and maybe even use them against you to pressure you to go join back into their fold, it's all pressure. It's all power play. And so you got to be able to see that for what it is. It's not the ordained holy God talking to you. It's a guy doing whatever he can to keep that paycheck rolling.
Claiming to speak for God.
Claiming to speak for God with a book of claims about claims. That's it. Hey, what's up, Buffalo?
I'd like to bring up again the idea of believe in belief genes and the fact that everything's on a Gaussian curve, and there are zealots down at one end of that curve that, in fact, are hardwired to have a need or a strong propensity toward believe in belief. And all you need is a couple of those that are outspoken, and you've got the situation we live under.
Mm.
I do want to give a shout out to the anonymous posters for recognizing that the system was a system and like getting out, you know, hopefully he's still out or she's still out, but good job on your own part. And like I said, there are atheist communities that you can reach out to. There are people you can talk to, and we'll be happy more than happy to continue conversations with you if you'd like to, if you don't want this one-sided podcast sort of system. We even have you on the show if you want to. Boudreaux, did you have any?
Yeah, it kind of makes me wonder, and I think we've talked about it maybe in the past, you know, how many church leaders are so invested in their career, so to speak, They lost their belief a long time ago.
Right. But
they can't give it up. It's their livelihood. They've got family members. I know.
That's what the clergy project is all about, right?
Yeah. Okay. Right.
Yep.
The same thing can happen in families too. You know, the husband and wife, one loses their faith and realizes that, you know, coming out as an atheist is going to, you know, ruin the relationship. So they hide it.
You know, the funny thing is the opposite never happens. Like you never have a scientist who stops believing in science and then science stops working. Right.
It's
always just like, dang it. I don't get nucleuses yet. I still have stoichiometry. Like what's going on here?
What's this nonsense about atoms and all that?
Yeah. It's just like, why does it still keep working? I have all my doubt put into this whatsoever. All right. Guys, we're getting close towards the end of the show. Thank you guys so much for leaving comments. Feel free to leave more. My channel's Let's Chat. You can feel free to post a comment and we'll get over into it in future episodes of the show. We really appreciate it. Buffalo, let me just say, I didn't feel like it would be a true show unless if you brought up Gaussian curves. So I do appreciate you bringing that up. I'm still waiting for the Sam Harris drop from Boudreaux though. So Boudreaux, I'll give you the opportunity. Anything you'd like to plug?
I went with Dawkins this time. Just trying to spread it out a little bit. The four horsemen, they all need equal.
Sure. No sweat. Buffalo, anything you'd like to plug before our customers come back from next week?
No, I'll cede my time to someone else.
Fair enough. Dread Pirate Higgs.
Sure.
Anything
so I'll make the Sam Harris plug. He has this great podcast called Making Sense, in which he interviews an amazing array of intellectuals and scientists and thought leaders. He also has an app called Waking Up, which is an exercise in an app around mindfulness. So as opposed to prayer and other kinds of meditation, mindfulness is something that has no baggage around it with respect to a deity or divinity or whatnot. Nice. Shall I plug my channel?
Absolutely.
Okay. Mind Pirate, MindPyrate. I broadcast this live stream at 7 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time, and then move on to the Global Atheist News Review at 11 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. So check out my channel. If you like, please subscribe. Love to see you. And also, I'm more than happy to entertain all comments that you might want to leave there. So check it out. Mind Pirate.
I also throw this out too. Next month, I'm going to be doing a talk at Dalton State College about cheerleading for I don't know, which is some often very rarely cheerleaded for. But as a good answer for when you don't know something, there's no better response than I don't know. And we got to get in a better habit of saying that. John Richards, listen, I got a whole notepad ready to go. Tell me I have a whole agenda, as you would say. Tell me what's the plan? What should we plug and pay attention to coming up?
Well, Free Thought Channel is the place to go, where you will see global atheist news. And one of the items of news you'll like this week is that fewer than half of Americans may be Christian by 2070. Mm-hmm. Then there's Global Atheist News Review, which Dredd and you, Ty, are in. Dredd's just plugged that. It happens later on today. I don't put it up live, but because I want to spread my stuff out throughout the week. But you'll be able to see it on Free Thought Channel later on. Then last night, we had a fantastic Free Thought Hour, the interview show, with a South African professor of paleontology who takes on creationists in his private time. So that was really cool. Good. That's well worth watching. Then, on top of all that, I've taken to debunking Frank Turek.
Okay.
I'm having a lot of fun with that. Little short videos where I take some of his work and chop it up and insert my comments.
I also want to do some two more plugs on top of that. Dredd, I'm glad you plugged the Clergy Project. Also, I would also recommend Recovering from Religion, which is a website anyone can access if you are SDA and leaving, or if you're a Jehovah's Witness and leaving, if you're a Christian and you're just doubting. If you have questions in general, don't put them away. It's good to ask questions. Questions are a good thing, as Dredd Pirate would say. Check out Recovering from Religion, the website also. Larry, listen, I still don't know what atheism is and all it's all about. We're going to have to just call it what it is. We apologize officially. Let's just, you know, chalk one up to Christianity and call it the end of the day.
No. I have a book on that. It's called Atheism. What's it all about? Thank you, Dredd. There it is.
There we go.
No. Dredd's is called What's It All About?
It's different.
Yeah. And it's on that. It's available on Amazon. But my content can generally be found at digitalfreethought.com. Be sure to click on the blog button for our radio show archives, atheist songs, and articles on the subject. My YouTube channel can be found by searching for Doubter 5 or Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. By the way, if you're a clergy member but have come to see that the claims of religion are not justified and start doubting, there's help for you at the Clergy Project. Just search for Clergy Project or go to clergyproject.org. Remember, everybody is going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life. And we'll see you next week, every Wednesday night here in Knoxville. Say bye, everybody.
Bye,
everybody. Bye-bye.
Remember, talk like a pirate tomorrow.
Talk like a pirate tomorrow.